you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Shall we go to the fan hotline?
Including high school. Yes, we should.
She's been with ESPN for over two decades. She does a terrific job working the sidelines in so many different sports. It's silly. She's Holly Rowe. Holly, great to have you with us.
Hi, Holly.
Thank you for having me. Hi, guys.
You good to go? Everything set for the season? Are you pumped up?
I'm pumped. I'm actually a little stressed today because I'm just sitting here looking. I have three games in the first 8 days of the season.
Woo!
And it's like prepping six college football teams when they don't really want to put out their depth chart. And you're trying to figure out who to prep. So I'm literally sitting in my hotel room in Chicago prepping Clemson, LSU, TCU at North Carolina, and then Michigan OU next weekend. So my head is spinning right now.
You know what? I'll know your head will stop spinning when you go to look at your direct deposit. And you're like, okay, I'm glad I did all those games.
That?
Yeah, life is good. Life is good.
I love that you think I even know if I get paid for these. I'm that obnoxious girl that, you know, I would be like crawling on my hands and knees to go to these college football games, and that they're paying me. I still feel like I can't believe they're not on to me yet.
Holly, we totally get it. We understand it. We feel the same way. But I got to tell you, at the end of the day, and you've been doing this long enough that it still feels good to be able to buy food when you're done. So love the game, but you still got to eat.
100.
You got to eat.
Yeah, I hear you.
Holly, before we get into some football, you're working with Allstate's Fall Good Works team and really kind of accentuating student-athlete leadership, character-driven initiatives, overall community impact. Explain something about the program, how folks can get involved.
So I know you guys have heard about this forever because you're football people of, you know, Allstate has had the Good Works team forever. You remember like Tim Tebow, Kirk Cousins, you know, there's been a lot of really big time college football players on this Good Works team. So Allstate has expanded their program to all sports, all genders. So I'm really excited about it because now women can be part of the Good Works team. So we've had some incredible athletes like Paige Beckers, Sophia Groth, and Auburn gymnast was one of our highlights. Penn State golfer Jamie Morris was one of our highlighted athletes. And so yesterday I got to go to Chicago Loyola University and surprise the goalkeeper of the men's soccer team, Aiden Crawford. He is the captain for our Fall Good Works team. He has started a Special Olympics chapter at Loyola Chicago from the ground up. And we honored him with the first captaincy of the fall team. And it was just so special. His whole family's there. His whole team is there. The stands are packed. We get to run out on the field and give him his captain's jacket and really just honor the leadership and great work he's doing in his community. So I'm an altruistic type reporter. I'm always like, I want to tell the happy, good stories. And we're hearing a lot of negative stories about college sports and college athletes right now. And I just really love it that Allstate wants to be the people who are shining a light on all the positive things that these young people are doing. So that was really cool.
That's awesome. Cool stuff. Plus, you can't score an extra point without Allstate, right? Like, someone's got to sponsor the net.
Exactly.
Behind
the net.
It is what it is. All right, obviously, we have a huge game coming up here in the state of Ohio on Saturday when Ohio State and Texas go toe-to-toe. Just your thoughts. I mean, this is a major barn burner that we're going to have here. Arch Manning, your thoughts on that game and just having such a big game so early.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's so good for college football. I think it's good for fans. You know, there's nothing negative about it. I think the one thing I worry about is, so I came to Columbus last December. Ohio State had just lost to Michigan. And people were like, we hope Ohio State loses in this college football playoff game so they can fire Ryan Day. And I was so angry and so frustrated because I know what a good coach he is. I had spoken to all five team captains. Do you believe in this coach? And they all said, yes, we love him. And sure enough, they were right. And they knew better. And they go on this magical run to win a national championship. So here's my lecture to the fan base. Texas is really good. There's a chance they can win this game because Ohio State lost so much talent from that roster last year. So let's not jump on a negative bandwagon to start the season, right? That's my one little soapbox. Now I'm going to step off of it. Texas is really good for this reason. They're going to be able to run the football. C.J. Baxter is a big, strong running back who was out last year with injury. He's back for Texas. They've got another running back who rushed for 1,000 yards last year who is back. And so then they've got Arch Manning, who is also a threat to run the football. So I believe in this game, the key for Ohio State is, can they stop the run? Because they lost so many guys, you know, JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, all the guys that they lost up front on that defensive line. To me, this game comes down to, can Ohio State's front hold up and stop the run? Now, this is one other little inside football thing that you guys might want to point your eyes to, is the offensive line for Texas is going to be totally new. I think they have one returning starter. They have a young man who moved from right guard to center. So there's going to be a lot new up front for Arch Manning as he tries to settle into that role and be good. So to me, that's really the story of the game, is the Ohio State defensive front against the Texas offensive line. That's where you need to look.
Holly, big picture college football question. How much did you enjoy the first ever time that you had playoff games on campus rather than bowl games? I thought it was unbelievably exciting. Oh. But I also thought you brought up a great point. Like, I've covered Ohio State for a couple decades now. I've never seen anything like what you were talking about when it comes to the fan base. Like, it was such a weird game, the Tennessee game. So I'm just, your thoughts on on-site campus playoffs, yeah.
Okay, first of all, I freaking loved it. Having games that are playoff games that mean that much on campuses, like, you know, watching Notre Dame, it was like magical with the snow, you know, all that stuff. I just thought it was the most exciting we've had in college football as long as I can remember. I just thought it was so great for the sport. That game was weird because the Tennessee fans traveled. I was just amazed, and I shouldn't be surprised because Tennessee fans are great. But they had packed the horseshoe, and so, like, you know, Ohio State runs out, and it's almost louder as Tennessee runs out. And I'm like, what is happening? It was a very surreal experience. But then Ohio State came out and had a very successful first drive, and that was it. As soon as they scored in that first quarter on a long touchdown pass to Jeremiah Smith, they came over to the sidelines and sat down on the bench. And I just saw this collective exhale of like, okay, we can do this. We've got this. Like, they had exercised all the demons of not being able to move the ball against Michigan in that one drive. And I saw it and I felt it and everything changed. And they went on to just trounce Tennessee. So I think that positivity from that fan base is really important in this opening game, but I loved it. I just thought it was absolutely incredible. And I will never forget being at the horseshoe for that.
Holly Rowe joining us from ESPN. Holly, the game coming up for Ohio State, everybody's here in Ohio ready to see, you know, what the Buckeyes can do this year. The Cleveland Browns have several first-round draft choices next year. They're still in search of a quarterback. Everybody assumes Arch Manning, if he comes out, will be the number one pick in the draft. That's a big assumption for a guy who hasn't played much college football. What do you hear about Arch Manning and his ability?
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abilities.
Yeah, so I had an interesting year last year because I got to see Texas. I think I might have done 5 Texas games. I saw them a lot. And I just kept trying to figure out, you know, why is Quinn Ewers continuing to start? If Arch is really this good, what is the reason that he's not getting more playing time, right? And I just think that he is a big, strong, talented kid, a lot of arm talent, but seeing the field and being able to process quickly and know the plays, for whatever reason, Steve Sarkisian just trusted Quinn Ewers more at that point in their careers. So to me, I think Arch on paper has all of the tools, obviously, you know, the legacy, but can he process quickly and run the offense and see what he needs to see? I think that's a real question mark, because if he was brilliant at it, he would have been playing more last year. So I want to see this young man grow, but also, you know, be patient with him and give him some time to grow, because as I said, they've got that rebuilt offensive line in front of him. That matters. Their center last year that helped lead them to the national championship, Jake Majors, he was a 5-year starter 5-year guy. So I think that people have got to be patient. He's not going to be perfect out of the gate, but I think the talent is there. I just want to see if he can process and run the team like Steve Sarkisian wants.
Holly, we only have like 1 minute left here, but I just want to get your insight on this. Tell me quarterbacks that Browns fans or anyone, maybe another quarterback Browns fans should keep their eye on in case they do have a high draft pick next year.
Well, we're going to LSU at Clemson is our first game over the weekend. And there's two quarterbacks in that game that are both potential high pro picks, in my opinion. Garrett Nussmeier, he's a little bit undersized, but he's feisty. His arm talent, I think he sees the field well and delivers the ball really well. And then Cade Klubnik, he is a big, strong kid, 6'2", 209 pounds. Proved that he can be a better quarterback last year, 36 touchdowns, just 6 interceptions. So, those are two guys right out of the gate that you can draw your eyes to that could be high pro picks, both at LSU and Clemson.
Holly, great to have you with us. And again, Holly, heavily involved with Allstate's Fall Good Works team. Congratulations on that, and best of luck this season, Holly.
Holly, come back on again. We'd love to have you back on.
Anytime. You ask me anytime. I love talking ball with you all. Anytime.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.